Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Michael Lombardi joining us, former NFL executive, hosted VSiN, and you also catch him here on SportsMap Radio right after this show from 12 to 2 Eastern Time. Our guest line is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Looking at the playoffs, I want to start with the 49ers and the Seahawks. Look, Brock Purdy's playing well. The Niners are on a roll. Their defense is Super Bowl caliber. Playoffs are a different animal for quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks. Are the Niners in good hands as they progress towards the Super Bowl?
You know, I think that's a fair question to ask. I think the Niners are really a composite of more than just the quarterback. I mean, they have probably the best yards after the catch receivers in all of football, whether you add, you know, even without Debo Samuel, has missed some games, you know, with Kittle and McCaffrey and all their running backs, Ayuk, the receiver, they're really good. But I think when you get into this time of the year, I think there's kind of everything kind of falls by the wayside. I don't think there's any you have to handicap games now kind of differently. And I wrote about this for VSiN.com online, where basically this comes down to, it's not about what's happened in the past. It's about how you play the game and how the style of the game really matters and how you can execute that style. And San Francisco's played Seattle twice. They've dominated both games, even though the second game was closer at 21-13. But Seattle's going to have to change how they handle this game. They're going to have to create some problems and gain extra possessions. But it always comes down to who can win in the red zone, who converts third and short. Those areas are the most important.
Right now, this is a double-digit number for San Francisco. When it comes to the postseason, what's your thoughts on double-digit? Obviously, the number in itself matters, but is there a point where the double-digit kind of raises an alert, either good or bad?
Well, this one raises your alert because, I mean, Seattle's quarterback, Geno Smith, is healthy. Kenneth Walker's healthy. Their running game's healthy. Now, their offensive line's got two rookies at starting tackles. So they got to go on the road. They go to San Francisco, where they really couldn't get anything going week two of the season. So that line to me seems a little bit long. You know, the line in terms of the other 10-point line, Buffalo-Miami, I mean, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback in Miami. If it's Skylar Thompson or Teddy Bridgewater, I get that. I think this line would be closer to 8 if Tua played. I don't think it would go down to 4 or 5 if Tua played, even though the national media would lead you to believe that, you know, Tua is Superman as a quarterback. But the reality here is I think that we don't know at quarterback. And Buffalo, for all their kind of back and forth this year and certainly the motivation from DeMar Hamlin, last week's game was a lot closer than a 12-point game. I mean, it took two kickoff returns and three touchdown passes, deep throws, to win the game. So I think if Miami ran the ball well up there. So I think that if the quarterback situation was not so unclear, I would think that's long, but I think it's the right line here.
There are a number of factors, obviously, that go in terms of handicapping a game, but there are 3 playoff games of the 6 that involve division rivals, divisional teams. How do you process the third meeting between teams in the NFL when it gets to the playoffs?
Well, I think this is this whole weekend's about revisiting games. I mean, every team has played one another. The Chargers played, you know, Jacksonville in week 3 of the season, and, you know, I mean, Seattle's played twice. I think, you know, familiarity breeds kind of confidence. And so you know what the team's going to do. I mean, Baltimore just played Cincinnati in Cincinnati. And so how much is Cincinnati going to alter their game plan? How are they going to change their style? You know, can they change their style? I mean, ultimately, playoff games come down to the best players have to play their best. So Burrow's got to play well. Chase has got to play well. Does Baltimore quarterback, is he going to be able to play well? I mean, that's the question. And it's really not as much about schemes as it is about players. Great players have to play well come playoff time.
Jacksonville and the Chargers, that's an even line right now. In terms of the way both teams are playing, I know the Chargers pulled some starters and lost to the Broncos, but they had won 4 in a row going into that game. But Jacksonville has turned it around. How do you see both of these teams and that even money line?
Well, I think Jacksonville has – I mean, last week they gained 212 yards of offense. I don't know if that's quite what they're going to need to do this week. I mean, they were fortunate to beat Tennessee with a 4-string quarterback in Joshua Dobbs. I think that kind of helped them. I think they're going to have to play the passing game really well. I mean, they're going to have to handle it. The last time these two teams played, the Jacksonville front really gave Herbert some problems. Now, Mike Williams wasn't healthy. Keenan Allen wasn't playing. This Charger team is a different team when Mike Williams is on the field. He really matters. He makes plays. Keenan Allen catches a lot of passes. But Mike Allen, Mike Williams tilts the field. And I think that that's going to be the challenge for Jacksonville. And last week, Trevor Lawrence didn't play very well. I mean, like I said, they gained 212 yards. They struggled to make plays in the pass game, missed some opportunities. With Joey Bosa back in there now, that'll certainly help. Walker Little, the starting left tackle for Jacksonville, is in there as a second-year player. He will have his hands full against this pass rush. So I think this will be a lot more even of a game. I'm going to go with Herbert because I think Herbert's sensational.
Dallas and Tampa Bay, both of these teams have got some problems coming into the playoffs, and Dallas is being more lengthened out given what the way they played against Washington. But Tampa Bay is a team that has had problems all year. That being said, there's the Tom Brady in the playoffs factor. There's the Cowboys in the players factor on the flip side. How do you look at a game in a three-point Dallas Cowboy line?
Well, I mean, look, Dallas, you know, you forget about the game last week. I'm not sure what that really means. You know, they didn't play well. They played poorly. Tampa has struggled all year. I mean, they're in this playoff game because Mike Williams, you know, Mike Evans made those three deep throws. Brady made some great throws. But, I mean, if J.C. Horn were playing in that game, he was out for Carolina. I think Carolina would be the team representing the South. They would have won the game. Carolina moved the ball. I think this is a game Dallas can get control of with their run and pass game. Dak can't turn the ball over. They got to be really effective, and they've got to make Brady play faster. I don't think Tampa has turned it around by any means, even though they're a playoff team. I know they got the greatest player of all time, but there's too many deficiencies within their team. I think it's going to be a hard game, even though playing at home. Look, these games always come down to who wins the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that Dallas should be able to win the fourth quarter. I know their speed on defense should give Tampa some issues.
You know, we were talking about these teams are, you know, have at least one game against each other. And the Giants in Minnesota played just a couple of weeks ago. The Vikings kicked a 61-yard field goal to win it. Giants are a good story under Brian Daboll. The Vikings have been a team that we've watched all season long. In terms of where you see strengths and weaknesses, what do the Giants do really well that could put them in this game against Minnesota?
Well, they play complementary football. They don't ask their team to do something they're not capable of doing. I mean, Daniel Jones only thrown 7 interceptions. Now, he doesn't make very many plays down the field. They don't force the ball. They try to establish their running game. They play a balanced game, which is what you need to do to win in playoff games. They're very effective in that area. And so they avoid losing first before they try to win a game. And all they try to do is get the game into the fourth quarter. They want to have an opportunity to get the game in the fourth quarter to win it. They made a long field goal to get them within 8 points of that game, and then they came back and scored and got the two-point conversion, and then the 61-yarder happened. I mean, they'll play this game really well. Minnesota's defense has not been very good, whether they play home or on the road, but the Giants have had a great ability to play good in the red zone. They're a situational team all the way. They're good in the red zone on defense. They're good in two-minute, which is important, and they're very good in short yardage areas. So they'll play well. They'll move the ball, Minnesota. But if they can't score touchdowns, it's going to be a challenge. I think it's a close game. I thought the last game it was a 5.5-point spread. The Giants were getting 5.5. Now the lines come down to 3. I thought that game the line should have been 3, and it ended up being 5.5, and took the Giants for the win.
I got a minute. I hope you can get this in a minute. Over-unders, when you look at these numbers that are over-under and the teams that are playing, how do you evaluate whether or not it's a good buy or not in terms of which side you go? Is it the scoring of the points? Is it weather conditions? What factors are the most important factors in evaluating the over-under of a playoff game?
I don't think it's going to be weather. Weather's going to be fairly good. I think it's about style of play. I think if you're Miami, you got to play a slow game. You got to keep the game into the 20s and hope you get a chance to win it. If you're Seattle, you got to play a slow game. I think it's all about style of play. I think the Chargers can play any style, and so can Jacksonville. So you might lean towards the over, but it's style of play that determines the over-under.
Michael Lombardi, again, VSiN. You can catch him right here on Sports Map Radio 12 to 3 and on the VSiN Radio Network, former NFL executive. Michael, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Hope to catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
You got it. Again, Michael Lombardi here on Sports Map Radio as we look at some lines of the NFL playoffs. And again, like you mentioned, all 6 games, there is at least one game that you can go back and sort of dissect how that game went for one of the others. But there are 3, Seattle and the 49ers, Dolphins and the Bills, and the Ravens and Bengals, where you're getting divisional matchups. This will be the 3rd meeting between these teams. And in some situations, it's an entirely different situation. Buffalo and Miami, for example, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Seattle and the 49ers. 49ers. The Niners are now rolling along really nicely. And the Ravens and the Bengals just played in Week 18. So there's some real familiarity here. The Cowboys and the Buccaneers, you can almost throw that first game out, right? I mean, look, we had no idea what these teams were going to be like when they played at AT&T Stadium. Dak Prescott and Tom Brady coming into the game, big matchup, but they both went in their separate ways. Prescott was hurt, came back. Brady struggled with the Buccaneers all year long. And I liked what he said. There was never a point this season with Tampa Bay where we felt like, oh, they got it together now. All right, we'll continue. It's Sports Map Radio on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's as we roll along. Again, Sports Map Radio, it's Wake Up Call.